I didn't wear khaki pants and a button-down shirt today because I didn't want to look like one of the others.
Poor Jim.
What has been said this morning, what has been shared this morning, really, it's the benchmark of what this church has been all about. And my wife and I and our children have been here for a very long time. And it's always been that way. People with a heart attitude for service, people who are willing to give from their surplus and give from their nothing. You are very unique and special people. And God is in the business of keeping us moving in this direction. I'm just going to hand this to you, Rainer. What I'd like you to do is just pass this around from person to person. Just get a quick look at it. And when it gets to the end over here, put it on this. Back over. And when the last person gets it, could I have it back, please? Because it's something very precious to me. So, a few weeks ago, I was approached and asked if I would like to share. And I was given some open dates in July and in August. But it just so happened during that period of time, I was going to a very dark place. I had gone to a very dark place. I was struggling. And the thing that I was struggling with, amazingly enough, was, God, here I am at 65 years old. I'm in the autumn of my life. And my life has been reduced to serving my wife, serving my family, serving my friends, serving my church. And for whatever reason, I don't know what initiated it, but I was feeling depressed and let down. Like, what went wrong? The way that I came out of that, let me preempt that statement with this. Too often, we are captivated with the East and the West. We're captivated with liberal and conservative. We're captivated with this, that, and the other thing. We're looking like this all the time. And looking like this all the time can be overwhelming. Looking like this all the time can eat away at your heart. And the thing that I discovered on the other side of this was that I had lost my vertical connection. I was so busy with the horizontal, looking to the east and the west, to this, that, and the other thing, to my problem here or there, that I had lost my vertical connection. Praise God that He is faithful to bring us out of those seasons. Praise God. So when I got that email from Jim saying, hey, would you like to preach? I said,
no.
The last thing in this world I want to do is preach. I don't want to share. I've got nothing to give. And amazingly enough, the passage we're about to try and unravel is about just that. It's about service. I listened to Anna this morning and I was like, yeah, that's our church. That's God's people. That's God at work in the body of Christ. God is amazing. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
So with that, they gave me the remote. Something that I have a hard time with at home. Oh, never care. Faith, the engine of deeds, James 2:14 through 26. This is an interesting passage because as James goes through it, he addresses three different types of faith. Dead faith. Demonic faith. And dynamic faith. How's that for three D's? Dead faith. Demonic faith. And dynamic faith. This is the word of God. Before I read it, I'm just going to do a little prayer on my own. Lord God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Holy Spirit of God, I do pray that you would inhabit my words, Lord, you would inhabit my thoughts. That, Father, you would have me speak truth. That, Lord, you would open hearts and minds to accept. Open hearts and minds that would not be offended, Lord, but that would embrace the truth, Lord, that lies there in Jesus' name. This is what the word says. I love the way he starts this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says, go in peace. Feel warm, feel well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by good deeds, is dead. But someone will say to you, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. They shudder. You foolish people, do you need more evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? And the scripture was fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she hid the spies or gave lodging to the spies and sent them in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. What is it?
It's buried.
We were on our way back from vacation. We had been down in a place called Delmarva, and we were driving up through, and we passed through a city called Dover, Delaware. And there, Dover Air Force Base is located. It's one of the big military Air Force bases on the East Coast. And as we're driving by, you know, I'm looking up in the air, and here is this behemoth of an aircraft. And I just keep staring at it, because it doesn't look like it's moving. It looks like it's standing still in the middle of the air. And this thing is huge. Billy Funchillo, huge. And all I can think of is, holy moly, that looks just like someone stuck a string from the top of that plane up into the sky hook up there somewhere, and it's just hanging. That's so amazing. It's like those things you hang over a baby crib there. Yeah. I wanted to hit it. See it? Well... That, friends, please appear. Okay. That is a Galaxy C-5. It is the biggest military cargo plane.
I gotcha.
Military transport in the world. It is huge. That is a tractor trailer that is backed up into it. It's absolutely enormous. Now, I just want to tell you, I believe in planes. I believe in planes. I saw them. And I want you to know that I don't understand the physics behind a plane or the dynamics of what makes that plane leave the ground and go up. I don't understand why it stays aloft, and I don't understand why it descends back to Earth and lands. I don't understand any of that, but I believe in planes. I believe that Air Canada, Swiss Air, Northwest, Air France, JetBlue, I believe they can get me from point A to point B perfectly safely with me just having to give a minimum of effort. All I've got to do is climb aboard, take my seat, and let them do the rest. And that, friends, is how some Christians, and I am not laying this on anyone here, let me be perfectly clear about that, but that's how some Christians view faith. They view it as, we just got to get on board, take our seats, and just please, we're done. And that is not what faith is all about. John Calvin wrote, it's faith alone that justifies, and faith that justifies is not alone. Faith alone justifies, but faith that justifies is not alone. It's something else follows. Faith fuels deeds. Your relationship with Jesus spurs you on. The Holy Spirit spurs you on. Quote by my wife. Faith in Jesus brings the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the fruit.
Where's the fruit?
Yeah, that's my wife. Try living with someone that is that spiritually intact. So what are the fruits of the Spirit? We all know this passage, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? Those are the fruits that the Holy Spirit brings to the game. Now just imagine if those things were at work in our lives at all times. Wow. Wow. It would be amazing. People would be breaking that door down to get in here. They would want to be more like Jesus reflected in you. I'm kind of pushing through this quickly. Thank you. Okay. Matthew 7:16 says, or 5:16, says, let your light shine before men, that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Philippians, do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become children of God, blameless and pure, and appropriate to praise generations, as you hold out the word of life. Something is going on in your life that attracts people to you, that enables you, that gives you the opportunity to share Jesus in a spoken fashion. I'm getting ahead of myself. We were listening to Ravi Zacharias. How many Robins do you know? We were listening to Robin Zacharias, though, and he was telling us, or speaking about how he had been interviewing Muslims who had come to the faith. And as he's interviewing these Muslims that come to the faith, he found that there was a pattern there. And the pattern was that the majority of these Muslims came to the faith in one of two ways. One way, dreams. The second way, from people seeing, watching Christians live out their faith. So these friends are important. These are important. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven. So, with that, I would just say, we need that vertical orientation. Because how else are you going to hear from the boss unless you're speaking with him, unless you're studying his word, unless you're familiarizing yourself with the way he likes things done, unless you're dying to yourself and just laying down things. Yeah. And this is the card that I drew when I said, okay, Jim, yeah, I'll preach this weekend. Right on the heels of, all I am is serve, serve, serve. All I do, and this is what my life has come to. Pretty good place to be in.
Yeah.
Pretty good place to be in. Because finally, myself is getting smaller. It's been so many years when he's been so big and real and up front. It's okay to be small. Saul was of tall grandeur, David was not. Which one of those two do you want to emulate? In the way, same way, faith itself, if not accompanied by good deeds, is dead. So that's dead faith. And I'm pretty sure that none of you are in that place. Demonic faith. If you believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Can you think of a couple of passages that speak to that? You know, ones out of Acts that I chose. It said some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, and I know Paul. Well, who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. That's seven. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Wow. Up here you can see plain as a nose on my face, and that's very plain, that these demons recognized Jesus. And they even recognized a godly man called Paul. The second example, Matthew 8, 28 and 29, when he arrived at the other side of the region of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came out of the tombs and met him. They were so violent that no one could pass their way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Who did they recognize? And they called it exactly right. They called it exactly right. What do you want from us, Son of God? testify. He was the Son of God. But the real hidden nugget here, the real hidden nugget is right. Let me see if I can get this pointer going. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? People, Jesus wins. They knew it. Their little song and dance here on earth is for a very limited time. In the end, they are defeated. They are tortured. They are cast into the pit. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about forgiving football. And I was thinking of the church as a football team. And I was thinking of Jesus as the player coach. Right? Jesus is the player coach. And I am seriously going off script here. But I was thinking, if Jesus was player coach, he would have gotten such a huge lead on that other team. They are defeated, and they don't even know it, or they do know it. They are defeated. But he's sending us in. And I think the pep talk he might give you is, you know, the team we're playing, they are really nasty. They want to maim. They want to hurt and destroy. They want to affect how you think. They want to psych you out. They may look big. They may look ugly. He says, but this is a task I've got for you, boys and girls. Team, get out there and take no prisoners. Back them into their own zone. Crush them. Because ultimately, that's the way this plays out. Demonic faith. The next one is dynamic faith. There are three human characteristics that are attached to dynamic faith. Intellect, it understands. Emotion and desire and will. And intellect understands, emotion desires. It's the driving part that pushes us ahead. The will acts. It acts in spite of. I better catch up. There we go. Okay, in this section of the passage, verses 20 through 26, James specifically mentions two examples. One of them, Abraham, and one of them, Rahab. Now, just for your information, as you all know, they both make the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Abraham and Rahab, the harlot. And that was because they practiced dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. In the story that this refers to in Genesis 22, God speaks to Abraham and he says, Abraham. And Abraham is, yes, Lord, here I am. Tomorrow, I want you to take your son and go to Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him there on the altar. At that point, I think that that's where I would come to a screeching halt. I would go, whoa, God, you do realize what you're asking me. Abraham's response was the next morning, early the next morning. He got up, he went out, chopped some wood, took two servants, a donkey, his son, and they headed out for a three-day journey to Moriah, to the mountain where God had spoken to him. This is where you were to set for Abraham. As they're on their way, they go the 3 days, and they get there. And Abraham sees it off in the distance, and he says, you servants stay here. My son and myself are going up there to worship. And when we're done, we will come down. When they get up there, Isaac asks him, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham's response, God will provide the lamb. And he came all the way right to the point where the angel said, stop! Because Abraham understood who God was. And even though God had said, or because God had said, you know, I'm going to bless you through your son Isaac, he knew that if he sacrificed him, Jesus is going to, or God is going to resurrect him. But his emotions must have been coming into play. He must have been torn left and right, right? I don't want to sacrifice myself, but I love him. My heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. And he did. His will was to act. So he demonstrated those three characteristics of dynamic faith. Rahab. Oh, forgot that one. And the scripture says, or was fulfilled, it says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness and he was called God's friend. Sorry, I'm pushing through. Okay, I'll cover Rahab real briefly first. You don't have to go back to it. So Rahab, the book is Joshua 6. Joshua has just crossed over, and they're about to, they're up against seven kings. The biggest of these kingdoms is the kingdom whose capital was Jericho. I don't know what it was. So Joshua sends in two spies. Rahab ends up giving them lodging and getting them safely out of the city and to another place. The wee part of that is this. She believed that God was the God of Israel, and it was her God, and that she was going to enable these guys, these two spies. She needed to protect them at potential cost to her life, at potential cost to her family's life. But she felt that this was something she had to do. And she acted on it. She did something about it. She lowered them and told them where to go. Again, the dynamic faith. She reasoned. She felt motivated to, and she acted. Dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. So, the secret to dynamic faith. Hands up. The secret to dynamic faith. A dynamic relationship with Jesus. It's that vertical relationship that draws us out of the depths of darkness at times, that enables us to overcome at times, that equips us to do works, deeds at times,
Change it.
Don't be offended, but we are all broken.
Looking for someone to have to leave?
Nope. Okay, good. We are all broken. Because we're a work in progress. He is faithful to complete the good work he has started in us until the day of Christ. There is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus who are called. He's at work in us. And we have seasons where we have ups and downs. But we have a stable rock that we can cling to. A solid place where we can go to. And he can lift us up, get us out. In fact, the only reason why he would allow you there is so he can teach you, so he can nurture you, so he can bring you into more understanding of who he is, of what he is, of his plans for you. This is a picture. I think this was one of the times in my life when I was actually kicking on all 8 cylinders. I had been searching God's word. I had been spending time in prayer. I'd been fasting. I had been spending enormous amounts of time trying to reach out beyond myself and to get out of my comfort zone. We were in Haiti. We were up in the savannah, up the Central Plateau. This was in 2010. And we were doing a medical mission up on the safari. And I remember on the way in, I saw a tree. And there were a bunch of blue, looked like little banners underneath the tree. And I'm busy snapping pictures because up there it was pretty bleak in the savannah. It was just grass and trees. But wow, there's a splash of color. I gotta catch that with my Nikon. So I'm taking pictures of it. Then we drove down into this village, and to really understand what that country is like, gotta be there. It is devastatingly poor. Devastatingly poor. We got down into the village and we started this triage in the church building, and you know, we're treating people and stuff, and I was taking information, taking blood pressures and fevers, just busy, and I looked over and here is the person who is responsible for dispensing medications, Carla, and I'm noticing that she'd give them the medication, and they would give her money. You have no idea how poor these people are. But one lady in particular, she handed her the money, and at that point, I broke her. I went over to Carla and I said, I don't care what the cost is. I've got this covered. whatever medicine they need, I'll pay them. If they need a hospital, I'll take them. Whatever they need, I'll do it. Don't take their money. That's what Jesus did for us. He had enough. And he came and he gave everything. He drank his body for you. Dynamic behavior. It requires you to be connected. It requires you to be in contact with and get an instruction from. The neat part of that is, and I can testify to this, when you are moving in the Spirit, moving with insane power. Because there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The demons shudder at his name. I pray for you. I call for you. Lord God, I thank you for each and every individual that's here today. Lord, it is not coincidence, it is not happenstance. They're here because, Lord, you brought them here. Lord, they're here because they might have needed to hear what was shared today, both in the congregation, through the word, and through the worship. Father, I pray that you would begin a transforming work in their heart, Holy Spirit of God, that you would faithfully deliver, Lord, on your promises, Lord God, Jesus, that, Father, we would be able to go into a life more abundant. I pray for each and every person in these seats, Lord, that they will have been blessed as they have been a blessing. In Jesus' name. Thank you for allowing me to.